Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
Meet Harry the Swinger. He's one of those people who likes to keep active, plays a lot of golf, likes the theater, the beach, and goes dancing almost every Saturday night. But Harry didn't always swing. Up until 2 years ago, he was Harry the 9-to-5er. Then, he retired at age 65 and moved to a community for young senior citizens in Seal Beach, California. Now, Harry can swing with more than 11,000 actively retired people.
Thanks very much, Ernie Anderson. And hello, everybody. Job well done, Department. Two resignations, actually, in the Bush administration this week. One we'll get to on the apology of the week. But one was a resignation with no apology. And those are the ones we like because clueless. The word clueless comes to mind. The Bush administration. So job well done. The Bush administration's federal coordinator of long-term hurricane recovery efforts on the Gulf Coast, Don Powell, has resigned. That job's done. He acknowledged frustration at the slow pace of rebuilding, but expressed confidence that he's out of the... the foundation for progress is in place. So we haven't made progress. We've made a foundation for progress. Good work, Don. 2.5 years. Foundations, they take a long time. It was just a good time to go, said Powell. Good on you, mate. He's a major Texas backer of President Bush after serving as chairman of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So well qualified to be a response coordinator, a disaster response coordinator. Not quite the Arabian horse business, but his position expires in 9 months, according to the executive order. Unless some new president renews it. Did I just make a product placement? Well, there's been lots of frustration on my part and lots of setbacks and lots of anxieties. The recovery is beginning to kind of get its legs under it. Well, then get the hell out of there. What more do you need to do than kind of get its legs under the recovery, Don? Thanks so much. By the way, don't forget to collect your watch. We kind of gave it to you. It kind of keeps time. It's kind of accurate, kind of a couple times a day. He said the New Orleans area remains, quote, a long, long way from recovery. All we've got up is schools. What about fire stations, police quarters, water, sewer, libraries? But at least it's on track now, he says, and we know what we're trying to accomplish, unquote. See, that's the progress. We know what we're trying to accomplish. Nailing that down, ladies and gentlemen, that's important work. It takes 2.5 years, and then get out of there. Bush thanked Powell for his dedication, adding he brought to the job a perfect combination of talent, temperament, experience, and compassion. I'm just going to review that line one more time because it so sums things up. We know what we're trying to accomplish, unquote, Don Powell, skedaddling out as the Bush administration's Gulf Coast recovery coordinator. Don, I wish you similar knowledge of what you're trying to accomplish in your next endeavor, babe. Interesting things come to light this week from the You Figure It Out department. There was a bit of a kerfuffle early in the week, or maybe even last week, on John McCain's connection with a lobbyist. And the headline of the story was whether he had a romantic linkage with the lobbyist, but the substance of the story was whether he's too close to lobbyists and does their bidding. And the lobbyist in question represented a guy named Lowell Paxson, who owns a bunch of tiny television stations. And here's Robert Bennett. Now, when you have to put Robert Bennett on television, ladies and gentlemen, you know you're in trouble. When I saw Robert Bennett in his pinstripe suit and Turnbull and Asser two-tone shirt on TV, I knew that John McCain was in trouble because that's what Bennett does, is he deals with, you know, he's a fireman. So, you know, there's a fire when you see him on TV. So here he is now on the discrepancy between the campaign's answer to the question, had McCain ever had direct contact with Lowell Paxson. The campaign said no. You know, he didn't have any direct contact with a guy on whose behalf he wrote letters to the FCC. And Paxson's own recollection that he'd had direct conversations with John McCain. Here's Bob Bennett putting out the fire. Quote, "We understand that McCain did not speak directly with him. Now it appears he did speak to him. What is the difference?" Unquote, Bob Bennett. Charges $500, maybe $750 an hour for that. We learned this week, ladies and gentlemen, from National Intelligence Director Mike McConnell, some interesting figures. In case you're wondering how things are going in Afghanistan, where this all started. Well, we at least know what we're trying to accomplish. Afghanistan's government controls, quoting Mike McConnell, about 30 to 31% of Afghanistan. Less than a third of its own country. The Taliban? Well, Defense Secretary Gates said in January that the Taliban occupy no territory. According to Mike McConnell, the Taliban controls 10 or 11% of Afghanistan. I like the 10 or 11, 30 or 31. Just see, if they'd been that careful with the caveats before the war in Iraq, we wouldn't be here. But ladies and gentlemen, the good news is that the federal government is acting as a role model in spreading good examples far and wide. Dateline Provo, Utah, a supervisor at a motivational coaching business is accused of waterboarding an employee in front of his sales team to demonstrate that they should work as hard on sales as the employee had worked to breathe, you see. Former Prosper Incorporated, see, I wouldn't be working for a company called that anyway. Former Prosper Incorporated salesman Chad Hudgens, hey, I'm Chad Hudgens from Prosper, alleges his managers also allowed the supervisor to draw mustaches on employees' faces, take away their chairs, and beat on their desks with a wooden paddle, quote, because it resulted in increased revenues for the company. See, if I'm Chad's lawyer, I take out the mustache and the wooden paddle thing, really, because it just makes the lawsuit look silly. Prosper President Dave, not that Prosper Incorporated doesn't look silly from the jump, but Prosper President Dave Ellis responded that the allegations amount to sensationalized versions of events that have gone uncorroborated by Chad's former co-workers. The suit claims that Hudgens' team leader, Joshua Christopherson, hey, I'm Josh from Prosper, asked for volunteers for a new motivational exercise which he did not describe. Hudgens, who was 26 at the time, volunteered in order to prove his loyalty and determination, according to the suit. Christopherson left the sales team to a top of a hill near the office and told Hudgens to lie with his head downhill, the suit claims. Christopherson then told the rest of the team to hold Hudgens by the arms and legs. Christopherson poured water from a gallon jug over Hudgens' mouth and nostrils, a la waterboarding, and told the team members to hold Hudgens down as he struggled, the suit alleges. At the conclusion, Christopherson told the team he wanted them to work as hard on making sales as Chad had worked to breathe, the suit alleges. Ellis, president of Prosper Incorporated, said the exercise was a dramatization of a story in which a young man asked Socrates to become his teacher. That's right. Waterboarding is a Socratic exercise. We're a hipper country than we thought. Hello, welcome to the show.
Half of what I say is meaningless, but I say it just to reach you, Julia. 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 Ocean child calls me. So I sing the song of love, Julia. Sky is shimmering, glimmering in the sun. Julia, Julia, morning moon, touch me, so I sing the song of love. I can only speak my mind, Julia, Julia, sleeping sand, silent cloud, touch me, so I sing a song of love, Julia. Song of love for Julia, Julia, Julia.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer welcoming you to this edition of the show. And President Bush seems to be getting a case, a specific form of Tourette's syndrome, in which he says the appropriate thing years later in the context of a different country. Here he is, for example, this week in Liberia.
It's easier to tear a country down than it is to rebuild a country.
Yes, indeed it is. Yes, indeed it is. I wonder what other country that would be an appropriate comment about. Then, speaking of which, President comes back to Washington, and it is a press conference on at the end of the week, says this about Turkey, a country which had invaded Iraq, of all places, the last few days.
You're on with the guest.
Oh, no, that's not him. This is him now.
The Turks need to, you know, move quickly, achieve their objective, and get out.
But how quickly, sir, do they need to move out?
You know, as quickly as possible.
Days or weeks?
Well, as possible.
Yeah, see, when the Turks invade Iraq, they got to get out quickly. I don't know who else that would apply to. But thank you, George Tourette's Bush. Ladies and gentlemen, I guess I'll be the one to talk about Pakistan again. Now, we were told for so very long that one of the reasons the United States supported President Musharraf is because he had a political problem in the border areas where the Taliban and Al-Qaeda have achieved safe haven. What? They have safe haven? Then what are we doing in it? And the premise was that there was so much political militancy in those border areas that if we put more pressure on Musharraf, the pro-militant communities in the border areas would rise up and possibly overthrow him. So how did those border areas vote in the recent Pakistani election? They elected a moderate ethnic Pashtun movement that ousted hardline Islamist parties. The moderates won. The hardline Islamists lost. Once a month, Pakistan's defense ministry delivers spreadsheets to the U.S. Embassy in Islamabad. They list costs for feeding, clothing, and billeting and maintaining up to 100,000 Pakistani troops in that border area. No receipts are attached. I want that gig. Pay me money. No receipts necessary. The Defense Department has disbursed about $1 billion a year for the past 6 years in one of the most generous U.S. military support programs worldwide. From the Washington Post, vague accounting, disputed expenses, and suspicions about overbilling have recently made these payments to Pakistan highly controversial, even within the United States government. But, you know, we gotta not ask for receipts or the militants in the tribal areas will take over. From McClatchy newspapers, the Bush administration is pressing the opposition leaders who defeated President Musharraf to allow him to retain his position. That, according to Western diplomats and U.S. officials, could trigger the very turmoil the U.S. seeks to avoid. What does he have on us? And by us, I mean Mr. Tourette. U.S. officials from President Bush on down said this week they think Musharraf should continue to play a role despite the rout of his party in parliamentary elections Monday and his unpopularity. Well, yeah, if presidents should cease to play a role based on their unpopularity, where does the finger point next? The U.S. is attempting to persuade Pakistan's newly elected parliament not to reinstate the judges that Musharraf summarily fired, which, as you may know, triggered the movement against Musharraf, which had lawyers in the streets, ladies and gentlemen. What a frightening prospect that would be. Lawyers in the streets. That's what they had in Pakistan. And they had lawyers in jail. Police arrested the lawyers in the streets. There is going to be an uprising against the people who are elected should opposition parties agree to the plan, warns the lawyer of the ousted Chief Justice, whom Musharraf has under house arrest. Hey, right along with the nuclear proliferator, A.Q. Khan. It's a big house. No, maybe it's not the same house. A close aide to Nawaz Sharif said that former prime minister is under growing Western pressure to drop his demands for Musharraf's immediate resignation and the reinstatement of the Chief Justice. Pressure from where? Two guesses, babe. The policy of hanging on to Musharraf has caused friction between the White House and the State Department. Well, the State Department was... Oh, they were right about Iraq. Officials in the White House and the intelligence community fear that the longer Pakistan remains without a new government, the deeper the gridlock, threatening the progress made. Blah, 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 blah. One Western diplomat says the strategy could backfire if Pakistanis feel betrayed after voting to kick Musharraf out of office. This is dangerous, said the diplomat. We are not willing to compromise on our stance. It would be against the interests of the Pakistani people. It's good work. It is good work. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Well, let's start with a good long one from the foreign minister of the United Kingdom.
I would like to make a statement on U.S. rendition operations. On the 12th of December 2005, in response to a parliamentary question from the Right Honourable Member for North East Fife, the then Foreign Secretary updated the House on the subject of terrorist suspects' renditions, stating the following, quote, "Careful research by officials has been unable to identify any occasion since the 11th of September 2001 or earlier in the Bush administration when we received a request for permission by the United States for a rendition through UK territory or airspace, nor are we otherwise aware of such a case." This was then supplemented by two further statements in January 2006 and a subsequent letter of the 6th of February 2006 to the Right Honourable Member for Richmond. In March 2007, the then Prime Minister, Tony Blair, gave an assurance to the Intelligence and Security Committee that he was satisfied that the US had at no time since 9/11 rendered an individual through the UK or through our overseas territories. I'm very sorry indeed, Mr. Deputy Speaker, to have to report to the House the need to correct these and other statements on the subject on the basis of new information passed to officials by the US government. Contrary to earlier explicit assurances that Diego Garcia had not been used for rendition flights, recent US investigations have now revealed two occasions, both in 2002, when this had in fact occurred. An error in the earlier US record search meant that these cases did not come to light. In both cases, a US plane with a single detainee on board refueled at the US facility in Diego Garcia. The detainees did not leave the plane and the U.S. government has assured us that no U.S. detainees have ever been held on Diego Garcia. U.S. investigations show no record of any other rendition through Diego Garcia or any other overseas territory or through the U.K. itself since then. Yesterday, U.S. and U.K. legal teams discussed the issue, and I spoke myself with Secretary Rice. We both agree that the mistakes made in these two cases are not acceptable, and she shares my deep regret that this information has only just come to light. Mr. Deputy Speaker, the House and the government will share deep disappointment at this news and about its late emergence. That disappointment is shared by our U.S. allies.
It's deep. It's very deep. David Miliband, British Foreign Secretary, who has trouble with the word detainee. I wonder why. But he did say the U.S. had lied to him in good faith. No, he didn't say lied. But, you know, that record search was defective. They didn't press the search button. Dateline London, lawyers for Will Smith say a British media group has apologized for a story that falsely claimed the U.S. actor said Adolf Hitler was a good person. Smith was quoted in a Scottish newspaper last year saying that, quote, Hitler had set out to do what he thought was good. Celebrity news service World Entertainment News published an article about the interview carrying the headline, Smith, Hitler was a good person. World Entertainment News apologized for the piece, but Smith's lawyers say that wasn't enough. World Entertainment News has now made a formal apology at London's High Court and agreed to pay unspecified damages. More entertainment apologies. Whoopi Goldberg has accepted an apology from producer Gil Cates for not including her in a montage featuring Oscar hosts during the Academy Awards. Cates called her Tuesday and talked about the fact that he made an oversight pure and simple. He said, "You know I love you." That doesn't sound like show business, does it? Goldberg, who called Cates a great gentleman, accepted his apology. She said she has moved on since choking up on Monday's show when her fellow co-hosts, excuse me, that's a redundancy, discussed how she was left out of the clip. The Singapore government apologized this week for the security lapse that allowed a suspected Islamic terrorist leader to escape from jail, whoops, triggering a manhunt across this usually well-policed island nation. Yeah, we don't like that. That's not good. Authorities said Mas Salamat Kastari, who once allegedly plotted to hijack a plane and crash it into Singapore's airport, slipped away. He's said to be a commander of the Singapore arm of Jamaat Islamiyah, a Southeast Asian extremist group allied with Al-Qaeda. He escaped after being taken from his cell to go to a room for a family visit. This should never have happened, said Minister of Home Affairs Wong Kan Seng. I am sorry that it had. Condoleezza Rice is in sort of deep regret heaven right now. She said this week, Americans regret deeply, see, the alleged rape of a 14-year-old girl by a U.S. Marine on Okinawa in southern Japan. Rice said, I would hope the girl and her family know that the American government is concerned about them and the American people are concerned about them. You concerned about them? Did you even know about them? Ask your friends. Our concern right now is to see that justice is done, to get to the bottom of it, and our concern is for the girl and her family. Okay. I'd like to get to the bottom of the Iraq War, Condi, while you're at it. Dateline Johannesburg, two of the four white students who were seen in a video allegedly mocking black housekeepers and serving them stew seemingly laced with urine have apologized for taking part, their lawyer confirmed to CNN. Attorney Nico Naud said the men have been described, depicted, and crucified in the media as racists. They said they are not racist and most certainly had no intention of humiliating or degrading the employees concerned or black people in general, or of detrimentally affecting their dignity. Maxim magazine has apologized for publishing a negative review of the Black Crowes new album by a writer who hadn't listened to the whole CD. Enough said. Chicago Bulls coach Jim Boylan trying to staunch a disastrous third quarter performance, first upbraided each Bull as he strode to the bench, then entered the timeout huddle briefly to challenge his players' effort before storming away and standing with his arms folded. His players finished the timeout in silence. Boylan said after the game, "We absolutely got what he deserved," as the Bulls were beaten by the injury-depleted Washington Wizards. "You have to play 48 minutes every night. We embarrassed the organization in the city of Chicago. I apologize for that," unquote. More More Hitler and athletic apologies. An Australian soccer player who dressed up as Hitler apologized for offending the Jewish community. German-born André Gumprecht said he was devastated by his big mistake. He wore the costume for an end-of-the-season party. I'm educated. I know what happened to the Jewish people, he told the Daily Telegraph. Enough of that. Dateline Honolulu, Senator Daniel Inouye has apologized for suggesting that Barack Obama's private high school in Hawaii was elitist. Obama points out in a statement that starts out, shame on Danny, that he went to the private high school on a scholarship, adding that he was raised by a single mom. Legendary producer Sir George Martin has made a public apology to Pete Best, the drummer who was replaced by Ringo Starr. He was part of the Fab Four from 1960 to 62. The music mogul now insists he feels guilty over the dismissal. Martin authorized the change just before the Beatles shot to fame. Best went on to work as a civil servant for 20 years before establishing his own band years later. Martin says, maybe I was the catalyst that changed his life. Hey, babe, at least he's got a pension. An Israeli television weatherman apologized for making a lewd comment on air. Another in a series of humor by amateurs. Danny Roop. I just wanted to say Danny Roop. Weatherman for Israel's Channel 10 issued a retraction for a double entendre concerning this week's snowstorms. Commenting in areas of Israel that saw less than predicted rainfall, Roop said that Channel 10's female news anchor was disappointed not to have gotten her 20 centimeters last night. Following viewer complaints, Roop said in a statement he'd apologize to the anchor for his slip of the lip, which was meant to be funny but came out badly. Should weather people be allowed to ad-lib? Just throwing a question out there for you folks. An armed man who burst into a classroom at Elizabeth City State University in North Carolina was role-playing an emergency response drill, but neither the students nor assistant professor Jingbing Wang knew that. I was prepared to die at that moment, Wang said. The drill in which a mock gunman threatened panicked students in the American foreign policy class prompted university officials to apologize this week to Wang and offer counseling to faculty and students. A prominent Orange County, California attorney has apologized for comments he made that neighborhood activists felt belittled one of Santa Ana, California's most historic districts. Attorney Patrick Munoz described the homes in the old Logan Barrio as crummy and little during a meeting. Munoz said in a prepared statement, I did not mean to offend these homeowners in that area and apologize if I did. That's the old if apology. Not really real. Three ads that appear to feature battered women but are actually advocating jogging support bras have caused a firestorm of controversy in the advertising community. The ads by DDB Toronto appeared in an online advertising website earlier this month. The company in question, Running athletic store Running Free, says it never authorized the ads. They depict three close-up photographs of young women, one with a bloody nose, one with black eyes, and one with a cut lip, with the tagline, support bras now available beside the logo for Running Free. The co-owner of Running Free says in a statement, I apologize on behalf of the whole crew here at Running Free for the anger and frustration created by those images. Triaging the remaining apologies, because there are so many of them. Walmart stores apologized to a Muslim woman who said she was mocked because of her face veil. A cashier told the shopper earlier this month, please don't stick me up. Walmart apologized in a letter signed by Rolando Rodriguez, the vice president and regional general manager, released by the Council on American-Islamic Relations Nevada chapter. I can assure you the associate in question was disciplined in accordance with our employment policies as a result of the situation. Rodriguez said employees would undergo sensitivity training, specifically in the Islamic faith and Muslim culture. U.S. Ambassador to Colombia William Brownfield apologized to Bogota, Colombia authorities for having provoked an impasse with Venezuela due to his recent remarks about drug traffic. I do not apologize for the words because these words represent the decisions of the government I represent, but I indeed apologize, of course, for having caused a delicate, difficult moment for my host government. And the other White House resignation this week is also an apology. Timothy Geoghegan, White House aide and President Bush's chief liaison to religious groups, has admitted to plagiarizing a column He wrote for his hometown paper, the Fort Wayne, Indiana News Sentinel. He actually plagiarized about 20 of them. The White House released a warm statement upon Gageline's resignation. He says, the White House statement, he has apologized for not upholding the standards expected by the president. The president was disappointed to learn of the matter, and he was saddened for Tim and his family. The president knows him to be a good person. The president accepted his resignation today. A good person who plagiarized from the Washington Post and New York Sun. The original lengthy copying was found by a blogger in Indiana. His behavior is not acceptable, and we are disappointed in Tim's actions, said White House spokeswoman Emily Lorimore. He is offering no excuses, and he agrees it was wrong. At least he didn't plagiarize from Jeff Gannon. That, ladies and gentlemen, would have been troublesome. The apologies of the week. It is Still and Yet, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Now, from the Found Objects Department, the word to the wise is here, don't tick off a conservative talk radio host by admitting that you haven't heard her show. This is from the Laura Ingraham Show, both on and off the air.
You're on with the guest.
Hi there.
It's Laura. I just wanted to say hi off air before we came back.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be on.
Great. Well, we're going to open it up to calls, so you can be a...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Dr. Diane for a...
No one told me about the call. So
well, okay. We're going to... Is that okay?
Yeah. Okay. I'm so sorry I've never listened to your show, but I've never listened to any show. So.
Really? Well, here's a word to the wise. Before you're going on a show with 5 million listeners, go online and listen to it.
Well,
I'm... Do some homework.
I know, but don't lecture me because I was up till 3 working 2 nights in a row, right. So I don't have a second.
All
I
right.
would have. I wanted to.
Okay.
1 minute?
Well, I'll try to forget the fact that you haven't heard our show. I usually would hang up on people who haven't heard the show. But...
Well, I haven't heard, I've never heard anyone. I have never heard a radio
how do you,
show.
How do you, and, you've never heard a radio show. How are you on the culture? You got to listen to radio. You can't.
Well,
you
obviously.
Can't.
It's not true. I mean, I don't know when people listen. I'm never in a car, and I work 24/7. I mean, literally. I don't.
That's a way to endear yourself to host. Tell them you never listen to the show. Here we come. So Diane is a very successful marriage and family therapist, and it turns out that, guess what? Marriage is good for your health, and divorce isn't. And Diane joins us now. Diane, how are you?
I'm fine. And you're annoyed because I told you that I didn't listen to your show, and I said I haven't listened to any radio show.
Yeah, since you want to bring up something that happened during the break, let's bring it up. Because I asked you, I said, have you listened to the show? And, you know, it's a pretty big radio show, and it's not the biggest thing in the earth, and who cares if you don't. But I was surprised that when you're in the business that you're in, where it's about values and connecting with people, that, and it's just interesting, you just have never listened to any talk radio in your entire life ever, right?
I may have 15 years ago before I started this thing I'm doing, but I work 24/7, literally. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked last night till 3 o'clock and the night before until 3 o'clock, and I get up and I start working again, and I don't commute. I'm not in a car.
But you can have a radio, you know, right? You don't need to commute. You can put it on the kitchen.
Have a radio. I don't turn on music. I don't turn on talk radio. I'm sorry. You know, I thought I should be honest with you. I haven't heard your show. I didn't realize there was call-in even. No one told me that, which I don't mind. I look forward to. I know about talk radio. I think it's incredibly
Well, you're a professional. You're a professional, and you're head of this big, interesting, and I think a vibrant group, and that's why we wanted to have you on. I'm always interested that people who, you know, want to get the word out about your group. I mean, just a little research on, you know, with whom you're talking and to whom you're talking. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more questions for our guest, Diane Solé. She's the founder and director of Coalition for Marriage, Family, and Couples Education. You can go to smartmarriages.com for more information. We'll get to all your calls. Be patient. Be brief. Stay with us. If you are supposedly tapped into the culture, what's happening, you've never listened to talk radio, you're completely out to lunch. I mean, she's out to lunch. Idiot. By the way, really stupid for her to open that door. Screw off. She revealed that, and I'm going to friggin' destroy her. What else can you find out about her? This is I didn't really get any this information about what kind of person she is. So what else do we know about this woman? Marriage and family therapist. Let's find out more about her. I don't care how long she's in it. She's a friggin' idiot. Look at her. Okay. I just saw a picture of her.
2 minutes?
She's a big liberal. She's a big liberal, I can
big,
tell.
Big, stinky, long-haired liberal?
She's a... Okay, so she did something with Heritage, Tom said, so she can't be all bad. You're just mad that I don't listen to talk radio. Yeah, no, I just don't think you do your homework, sweetheart. Oh, she quotes Maya Angelou! Maya Angelou's on the front of the website! Oh, my God. Oh, get out. She hasn't given one piece of common sense information. First of all, don't piss off one of the biggest talk show hosts in the United States. We love Maya Angelou on the Laura Ingraham Show. We love it. Well, if you listened, you'd know how much I love Maya Angelou. Well,
I wish you didn't. I wish you'd just realize, you know, that this is a full-time revolution.
You're busy. you're busy. Ann, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Stay with us on the Laura Ingraham Show. We'll close it out. Was she annoying?
She was ridiculous.
Oh, well, if you know, listen to the show, you know how much I love Maya Angelou. She didn't even know what I was talking about. I totally goofed on her. You guys, when she said she'd never listen to radio, I just couldn't hold it back. I was so livid. Yeah. Come on my show if you've never even bothered to even listen to it online. I just would never go on a show that I've never heard before, unless it was like a local, you know, radio show that I had to do a book.
Never.
So what's odd is that this Diane Soleil is pretty conservative. Like, she's just a dummy on how to push her stuff. I love that. You're just mad that you said, I said, well, big mistake, sweetheart. What a nightmare. All right. Good job, you guys. Good job.
Yeah. Good job at recovering from the slight, Laura. Laura Ingraham, ladies and gentlemen, from the Found Objects Department. And now it's time for me to read the trades for you. I had more grace than that when I lost a Grammy. Of course, there are no losers at the Grammys, except the people who show up. From Air Force Times, 59 million sought for awareness campaign. I'll read it for you. You may be spotting Air Force messages a lot more often in print and television ads, while most Air Force programs will get little, if any, more money this year. And the service is eliminating 12,000 positions. The Air Force wants to more than double its advertising budget, pumping up the spending plan to more than $112 million. Beyond the typical advertising to convince young adults to consider joining the service, the Air Force wants to wage a campaign explaining the Air Force mission to a wider, older general public. The Air Force's budget proposal makes it clear the service's leaders think the stakes are high. If the Air Force can't raise its profile compared to the Army, Navy, and Marine Corps, the service will suffer, it states. Without the funding, the ability to educate the American public about Air Force roles and missions will be limited, ultimately creating a gap between the public and the Air Force, and the Air Force's ability to maintain its stature amongst the other services. Air Force officials believe Congress and the public are focused on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, where the Army and Marine Corps do most of the fighting. Therefore, efforts to expand the Air Force's high-tech fleet of aircraft and the service's cyber mission are taking a back seat to the immediate needs of the wars. One example of the service's frustration, its year-long effort to win a $20 billion a year budget boost has gained little traction with lawmakers. Critics of the Air Force point out that many of the service's wounds are self-inflicted, from the botched deal to lease tankers to a base closure plan that left some Air National Guard units with no aircraft. In comments to Air Force Times, the service defended the additional expenditures in a tight budgetary environment. Quote, our research found that the American public doesn't understand the Air Force, who we are, what we do, why we do it, as well as we believe they should, unquote. Aren't they the guys in the airplanes? With the things? To meet our recruiting goals in the years ahead, it's important that America's communities of parents, influencers, influencers. And potential recruits understand how the U.S. Air Force has evolved to meet the challenges of defending our nation. Unquote. The targets are 220 million adults. The goal is each adult over a year's span will see 30 Air Force ads, from websites to TV. Success will be measured by creating a positive attitude about the Air Force. Hey, we could save the Air Force $50 million by just adopting a positive attitude towards them. Okay, I'll start. I like the Air Force. How about you? The program seeks to change a mindset by educating the American public on how today's Air Force is the most engaged, versatile, and high-tech of all the military services, says the budget proposal. Okay, I believe it. Save your money. Just send out the press release. The Air Force, worried about its brand. Something sad to think about when I read the trades for you, copyrighted feature of this broadcast. How are things going in Iraq, you might ask, ladies and gentlemen? And thank you for asking. None of the 26 buildings in the new $750 million U.S. embassy complex in Baghdad is ready to be occupied. Fire alarms intended to safeguard the more than 1,000 employees aren't working. Kitchens in some of the buildings are fire hazards. This, according to McClatchy newspapers, a senior State Department official in December certified that embassy construction was substantially complete, but department inspectors found, quote, major deficiencies in the unoccupied embassy, according to the inspection report. And now the new chief of the State Department's embassy building arm, Richard Shinnick, has voided the December certification that the embassy is nearly ready to be occupied. Well, I didn't want to go there to work in Baghdad anyway. So it's no problem for me. Iraqi's three-man presidency council this week announced it's vetoing legislation that U.S. officials 2 weeks ago hailed as significant political progress. So the surge was working for 2 weeks. The State Department has stopped processing the applications of 551 Iraqi and Afghan translators seeking special visas to come to the United States. Those are the people we're supposed to feel loyal to because they supported us. We're told that a withdrawal would leave those people in limbo. The State Department will not process their applications for visas because the current legal quota of 500 has already been reached. Sorry, folks. Good luck with the hanging around in the country thing. The applicant, according to the State Department, should not make any travel arrangements, sell property, or give up employment until they get a visa. It's the latest obstacle for many of the several thousand translators who've worked for the U.S. military in Iraq, risking their lives and leaving their families vulnerable. More than 250 interpreters working for U.S. forces have been killed. But we've hit our quota, you see. Now, the President of the United States was in Africa this week on a goodwill trip, getting a lot of thanks for the U.S.'s support for anti-malaria and AIDS work over there. In several joyful photo ops. Back here, of course, he held a news conference and tried to remain relevant, apparently. So it would appear. There may even be a phone call that resulted. He's at the ranch in Crawford, Texas this weekend, playing host to the Prime Minister of Denmark before the big NATO summit. And as I say, there may be a phone call about all this next here on Le Show.
Ranching Eagle, A43, welcome back to Terra Americana. Hey, 41, that's one Terra we don't have a war on. Yeah, pretty good trip to Africa. I guess it showed you don't have to be a Barack Hussein Obama to care about black people. No. Message, you cared. Came in loud and clear. Well, not so loud, really, unless that campaign coverage. Really a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of made it hard to find the coverage of your trip. But when Barr and I could, it was just so inspiring to see you there, helping that whole element.
Yeah, it was inspiring. In other words, I drew inspiration from the trip, 41. Mm. And it's such a good return on investment.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, the malaria aid and the AIDS aid.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, for about what it would cost us to give one New Orleans family a trailer without those fumes that they're bitching about now, we can inoculate 2,000 babies in Tanzania.
Yeah, the folks over there sure seem grateful.
Well, that's just it. See, that's what Condi was saying before we started this project, that they've been so accustomed to getting so little from this good country over all these years. I'm going to be a hero just for showing up.
Well, hey, listen, Sprout, with popularity ratings like you've got here.
Well, not that I pay attention to the polls.
But seriously, good to be a hero anywhere these days.
Yeah.
Even someplace. You ever notice this, that the whole continent kind of looks like one big bad neighborhood?
You know, they're good people working hard, trying to build a democracy the hard way, one corrupt dictatorship at a time. But, you know, I like them. Very fertile ground for the gospel, incidentally. A lot of good Christian people whose only mistake was they happened to be born, you know, differently colorized.
Yeah.
But, boy, it's good to be back at the ranch.
Oh, I bet. Warm and sunny down there.
Yeah. Kind of getting nostalgic about the place.
Really? Serious about selling the ranch, are we?
Hey, if it was up to me, whole different ball game of wax. But I'm just going to be the ex-president.
Tell me about it.
And Laurie's really adamant about moving to the big city.
Oh, yeah? Where she want to go?
She wants us to get a house in Paris.
House in France? That's kind of different for
Paris, Texas.
Uh-huh. Got a little NATO summit coming up next month.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Got to put my geostrategic thinker cap on. Got one of our good allies here at the ranch this weekend.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who's left?
Prime Minister of Denmark.
Mm.
You know his name.
Rasmussen.
Yeah, same fella. Good man. We took him mountain biking around the ranch, and I'll tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
For a European, he's in pretty darn good shape.
I think the new generation over there getting more like us in terms of physical fitness, cosmetic surgery, the whole deal.
Well, you know, he's a tough son of a gun.
Mm.
They got this, quote, independent investigation of our rendition flights into Greenland, and I'll give him this. He's kind of stubborn on the matter of them staying, quote, independent.
Think I told you, the company wasn't going to appreciate getting roped into that whole enterprise, flying detainees around to Syria and such for improved interrogation.
Enhanced? And you didn't tell me any such thing.
Yeah, thought it. Maybe I didn't say it.
And the CIA people did seem absolutely enthusiastic when the Chainster told them they had this account.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, son, the good news is any investigation of anything that's launched now, results won't be in until you're safely home in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God for the 22nd Amendment, in a way.
Hey, look, nobody appreciates the onset of female suffering more than I do. But look here, 41,
mm-hmm.
Be great if some of your old colleagues at the agency got the word that this would be a pretty good time to fall in their bullets and take a sword for their president.
And their vice president.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't talked about this much. It just amazes me in a way. Remember when I was Ronald Reagan's vice president, the idea that the agency would get its marching orders from the vice president would have been treated as some kind of joke.
It would have to come from the president?
No, chief of staff, but certainly not the vice president.
Yeah, well, that's good progress.
Saw you didn't fall far from the tree this week.
You saw what now?
Well, you reacted with surprise that the news gasoline is approaching $4 a gallon.
mask. That's
one of your old man's tricks, isn't it? Being out of touch with the real economy. Remember when you gave me hell about the supermarket scanner, and the only people who knew about those things were the gals? Last time I looked, all demographics use gasoline. I was getting to the end of a very long press conference, starting to wish I was back in Tanzania. Something just very uplifting about seeing so many happy black people in one place. So kind of got in late on the reporter's question is all. Believe me, 41, I am very well informed on the price of gasoline. And the last time I looked, all the demographics used food, too. So, no, I don't think I'm doing a reprieve of the old man's out-of-touch routine. No way, Jose. Or, as Jose would put it, no S way. Okay, 43. Well, have fun at the ranch. That's from Barr. Yeah, I figured. You take care. You too.
I got my head in the clouds and ain't no taking it down. Now that I finally got myself together. And if I ever was found, I'd say just put me back down. 'Cause I'm prepared to stay in here forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, the federal government now has a response to the discovery that the discovery by the federal government, by the Centers for Disease Control, that the travel mobile homes given to victims of the flooding and of the hurricane in Mississippi and Louisiana were filled with formaldehyde fumes that may be toxic. The Department of Housing and Urban Development is now, quote, weighing, unquote, stiffer regulation of formaldehyde emissions in mobile homes. But Jeff Inks, a government regulation specialist with the Manufactured Housing Institute, says he doesn't know if the Institute would back the new rules. He says millions of mobile homes that house Americans are absolutely safe. And, quote, there's still a lot of disagreement on what the effects of formaldehyde are, unquote. Jeff, do the old stunt. Drink a glass of it, and then let's talk, okay? Thank you.
You're on with the guest.
No, you're not, really. But I'll be all right. Sorry. A little confusing here, because nothing has changed. And yet something has. Ladies and gentlemen, the Le Show audience and my personal family are greatly diminished by the absence of one this week. It's a private matter. It'll stay that way. But I want to thank everybody who's sent good wishes. And to those who haven't, and to those who've chosen not to, thanks for your honesty. That concludes this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world to the facilities of the American Forces Network, around the world via the Internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want it, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com, on the Mighty 104 in Berlin, on Sirius and XM satellite radio. They may never merge. Available as a free download at www.audible.com/LeShow and as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And it'll be just like President Bush having more Iraq Tourette's, if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much. By the way, thanks to everybody who wrote in response to the replay last week of the interview with Alan Toussaint, and thanks to Mike Newport here at KCRW for suggesting it's rebroadcast then. The show comes to you from Century Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.